Ladies and gentlemen, it's Elaborator's time, and we are glad to be with you in your car, in your home, in your ears, wherever you are. We hope that you enjoy elaborating with us. On this particular episode, we're going to talk about your shape. Not your physical shape, it's okay. We're not doing any diet or exercise stuff today, but we are going to talk about how you are wired. And to do that, I have some incredible young men in the building. Producer Simon and Stan are with me.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everyone. And hey.
I was just wondering if you were going to claim the youngness of that.
Oh, I was.
I'm very young, but he's named young, so he's younger than I am.
Oh, producer. We've just given away producer Simon's last name, which means that people can now track him down on the internet.
And privacy, Pastor Stan.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no. You can go back and beep that out if you want.
Oh, yeah, good.
Yeah.
Bleep, and they'll think you're swearing. Yeah. No, they'll think I'm swearing. Wait a minute. Yeah. Don't do that.
We're giving away no identity stuff today. But we did want to have a quick chat or a long chat, I don't know, an elaborating chat on the idea of shape, the shape that you are wired in, the actual physical abilities, your personality, your spiritual gifts, your emotions, all of that sort of thing. And I thought to get us in the mood, we just talk about how interconnected we all are. So just see if you want to sing along with this one.
Oh, yeah. I remember this one.
Remember this one?
Them bones.
Hear the word of the Lord. Now, I always
never heard that part.
I was going to head to bones, them bones, I was early.
Yeah. Bones, you don't remember this bit? Now hear the word of the Lord. That's what we used to sing.
Yeah. I think you were in a church that actually added that in and made that up.
Made it a Jesus song?
Made it a Jesus song, yep.
See, and all Simon and I are actually singing is... Then here we go to the wristwatch. Sorry.
I like that part.
The wristwatch?
The wristwatch.
I go from head to toe and they start from toe to head.
They're singing the song right in the wrong way. But isn't that the problem that half the time we're thinking when we're talking about how we're wired and how we're put together, we come from very, very different places? Geographically, we come from very different... Producer Simon, are you gonna claim that you are English or Australian for the point of today's conversation?
Australia. Well, okay. For the point of today's conversation, I was born in England.
Whereas next week's conversation, he'll be born in Australia. Yeah,
so we're from different places, so I need to be somewhere else than here.
Yeah.
So England it is.
So you can be a European rep.
It is true.
Yeah,
I'm not just making it up.
No.
I was born in England.
Everyone's stalking you on the internet now, so they know that about you already. They're sending packages to your door. Stan, you are?
Australian.
Wow. Get in for
second. I love that. Yeah.
I am American by birth and Australian by the grace of God.
Oh, okay. There you go. The applause is back in for that one. That's great. So if I was to say Aussie, 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 you would say...
Oi, oi, oi.
There it is. Is there an American version of that?
USA. Isn't it that?
Yeah, probably.
So, a bunch of people shouting USA.
Yeah.
I'm proud to be an American.
No, really?
Where at least I know I'm free. Right. Oh, you know that song?
No.
Oh, man. Yeah. There's a song. I was actually singing.
Hear the word of the Lord.
There's a particular accent creeping through right now.
You know, he's got more Southern, y'all.
But in U.S. churches, they actually sing things like America the Beautiful and God Bless the U.S.
As part of a church service?
As part of a church service. I remember after being in Australia, I was back in America, and on July the 4th, we were singing...
America.
And that was a hymn that we were singing in church.
What says God shine your light on thee or something, doesn't it?
Okay, it says God, so right. It doesn't matter, right. Although a lot of rap songs say God in them, and I don't think those are Christian.
That's next week's episode of the Elaborators.
Yeah.
What songs should your Christian playlist include? I've worked in Christian radio. That's more of a complex conversation than you realise. So, basically the point is we've all come...
What's this podcast about?
Yeah. Your shape, where you're worried. But it does. Environment plays a part in how you think and how you react and respond to others around you. And then we get this incredible thing when you're a person of faith and you think, I'm going to get involved in a local church. And you think, that'll be easy, won't it?
Get
involved in a local church. Why not?
Why not?
That sounds like a good thing to do. Get around the other Christian folks and see where I fit. And it turns out it's not that simple sometimes. It's maybe simple at the start when you think, you can ride a bike and you can walk a tightrope, so let's do that. Well, as you grow, it gets harder.
It can be simple. We, in fact, some churches make it too simple because if you're breathing – You're going to serve wherever I need you to serve today. Yeah. I don't care if you're a massive introvert that hates people. You're on the welcome team. I don't care if kids annoy you to no end and you want to throw them through the wall. You're our kidsman person today. Sorry. Because you're alive and breathing.
On that one, I've just checked in with the HR department. child safety department.
That does not fit with safe churches.
No.
Right. So we don't. And see, that's what I'm saying, though, is because when we try to make it too simple by just putting warm bodies in places, you end up with people who don't fit there, and they end up doing a lousy job, and the people aren't being ministered to well, and they're frustrated, and they're not going to last.
So let's just rewind for a second. You've arrived at a church. You're thinking, I'm just going to go to church today. I'm an attender. I'm going to go.
Consumer.
Quick, move on. Welcome back to the subtle podcast sounds of Stan Ritchie. Right, so you've rocked up in a new town, let's say that, and you are new. So you've rocked up to your local church and you think this is good, and you like the preacher or whatever it is that you're looking for in a church, and you start attending. Attendance is one thing. We particularly want to talk about getting involved and serving in this conversation. So that's we're a step down the road in this conversation. So when we talk about serving, why would we serve? And we're talking about specifically about volunteer serving in this context. Why would I want to volunteer serve in my local church?
Well, that's really simple. If you are a follower of Jesus, God has made you uniquely. He's gifted you uniquely, and He's equipped you for service. Everyone in a church should be serving, ministering to one another. Mm-hmm. That's the way God designed us. That's the way the church is designed. That's the way it works.
So when you hear everyone should be serving, I'm going to just go out on a limb and assume that some people just heard you say everyone should be giving volunteer hours to work for the church, which has a whole lot of other connotations, right? Mm, so everyone, we're going to have a working bee, and you're not a good Christian if you don't show up to the working bee. But that's not what we're saying either, is it?
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about ministering in your areas of giftedness and the way God has shaped you naturally, because the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about all the different parts of the body coming together. It's like our physical body. We've got eyes, we've got ears, we've got a nose, we've got a mouth, we've got hands and feet. And our eyes can't do what our feet can do.
Mm-hmm.
And our hands can't do what our ears can do. So it takes all of it working together. And the body of Christ, which is what the church is called in Scripture, is the same. We need all of the elements, all the pieces working together to form the body and to function effectively.
To make strong, healthy community.
That's it.
Yeah. So I know that this has been a passion for you for a long time, actually. You've worked in local church, you've worked in a mission organization, you've worked on boards and all sorts of different things. Has there been a season where you were able to really achieve this well, that you look back and go, that, and you kind of remember why it worked?
You talking about for me personally, just the way I'm ministering, or
just your
leading a church or organization in that way?
Your professional life, when you look back through it, is there a season where it was like, wow, that team was a cracking team. That really, really worked.
Well, of course, right now. The team I have now is perfect.
I'm taking that to the next meeting, by the way.
When we talk about diversity amongst our team and everything, we do have that. But we have a tremendous amount of diversity in our giftedness. Mm. In fact, and I've experienced this before as well, but we might as well talk about this current situation.
Sure.
When I first started here, as you well know, Justin, I went after you because you and I are very different in our giftings and our abilities, our shape. Mm-hmm. You know, you're catching up though on the roundness part and the shape.
But anyway. I'm almost as complete as you. And thank you for your mentoring in that field.
Anyway, sorry about that.
One day you too can be like Stan.
But no, I am very structured and very organized and more regimented and everything.
Yeah.
You're very creative and organic, and you bring beauty to things where I bring structure to things.
Right.
And that's a beautiful thing that we can work together and complement each other in that way. So really, when you're building a team, you recognize the holes that you have in the team and the next person you bring on team, you want to fill that. And in our volunteer teams or in your volunteer teams in your churches, you should have a diversity. Just because working with kids, you don't need everybody to have the gift of teaching and to be upfront teaching.
I was going to say, what's the danger of looking to add someone to the team who's like you?
Well, then one of you's right. If there's never disagreement, if there's never any complimentary stuff going on, you don't need that extra person because you can do those things.
Mm.
So that the danger, and also you're not getting any outside ideas or thinking. You're just very narrow in what you're bringing.
So we talk a lot about the echo chambers of, say, our social media worlds and things like that. Sim, I know you're across this as well. When it comes to you're raising kids, there's a whole lot of things you're trying to you help your children navigate the real world and the online world and all that sort of stuff. How do you help even your children and even your family stay outside of that echo chamber of just people that are like you and agree with you?
Oh, well, with the way algorithms feed it to you as well on socials, you do get, pardon me, stuck in an echo chamber. It's online. I think you have to go looking for it.
Mm.
You have to be quite deliberate about getting out of your own echo chamber, whether it's meeting new people or whether it's researching different things or, you know, going to find different channels on socials or whatever it might be. Friendship groups, all of that is you kind of have to be pretty deliberate about broadening your inward experiences, your inward traffic or whatever.
Yeah, I want to grab that word deliberate because that's what we're talking about in our church here at Werribee Baptist Church. Just in case you don't know where we're speaking to you from, this is from Werribee Baptist Church in the great city of Wyndham. And we like to talk about this every now and again through church, and we run a class on it, actually. But one of the reasons we run the class is because people of different backgrounds can come together in the physical one spot and talk about the way they're made up, which by default means we're talking about our differences.
Right.
What's so important about getting together and talking it through with other people?
Well, it's important to get together and talk it through with other people so you can actually recognize those differences. When you do it in isolation, trying to figure out who you are, bumping up against other people reveals who you are more than even just thinking it through on your own. So that's one reason. But we actually look at it from five different perspectives of things that have made you up because we believe people should minister the way they're made.
Yeah.
But when we think about how we're made, there's five elements that we emphasize, and certainly that's you can add to this if you like, but I think this pretty much covers it. And it uses the acronym SHAPE, where we start with spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
Then we look at your heart, that's your passions and your desires. Mm. Then we look at your abilities, that's natural things that you're good at. And then we look at your personality, and then we look at your experiences. And all of those things feed in to make you who you are, and then that, by extension, shows us and shows you where you're going to fit as far as ministry. And not just ministry in the church, but ministry in the community, ministry around the world, or just functioning. It really, once you understand your shape, while it's great for ministry, just functioning in society and in your home and all of that, it will help you understand how you are most effective in those spaces.
What about the people that feel a bit fearful of being measured and boxed? I'm assuming at different stages you've done a lot of different leadership stuff, and I know producer Simon has as well, and you fill in the form, and, you know, I'm middle-aged now, I hate to admit it, so I've done this a fair few times, and it turns out the surveys come back fairly consistent.
They do.
After a while, you think, maybe
I'm going to take that again.
Same. Exactly. <You know? laughs> But I don't want to be that
I'm going to answer the questions differently this time. Same. You know, it doesn't work.
So what would you say to someone who says, I get you, but I don't want other people measuring me. I don't want a piece of paper measuring me. How do you help people pass that little hurdle?
Wow. I guess I have a bent towards those things. I love it. I'm curious.
Wait a minute. Are you the structure guy?
I'm the structure guy. So it's really hard to fathom someone not wanting that.
Yep.
Now, the thing is, and this is huge. And in our upcoming course that we'll be doing here, or when we do this course, one thing I emphasize, like we'll administer a spiritual gifts test. Mm. But when we do that, I also tell people the best way to find your gift and discover your gift is not by taking a test. It's actually by ministering.
And give it a crack.
As you minister, as you have a crack at different things, mm. it's going to become increasingly obvious what your gifting
well,
is.
Well, now that we know you're an Aussie, giving it a crack is just part of your nature, isn't it?
That's it.
Absolutely.
Have a go.
Have a go. So we look at Romans 12 and Ephesians 3, and we look at Ephesians 4, I should say, and the different gifts and things. But they're when you're looking at those scriptures, they are talking about what sort of gifts?
Spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
Spiritual gifts. And we have several passages that speak to spiritual gifts. And I actually am of the opinion that we don't have an exhaustive list of spiritual gifts mm-hmm. in Scripture. And the reason I believe that is because all those lists that we have are not identical.
Yes, they're written a few different ways. Right. Paul writes them to different. Yeah.
Right, so that's one major reason I think that there's more latitude in that than we might naturally understand. We want to limit it to those, six or eight gifts. But
Certainly I remember a phase growing up in church where you had to almost decide were you a pastor, prophet, teacher, missionary, or whatever. Those ones. And I remember thinking, what if I can't? Because again, as a child, you look and you make an assumption that they are professions kind of thing, or you've seen people operate in those as that's what they do professionally. So it's almost like a career path. Mm-hmm. Whereas I would suggest that discovering your spiritual gift is something that is a here and now in the community that you're in for the people that you're with. And there's variations on those themes.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that God gives each local church the gifts through people, the mm-hmm. gifted people that he wants them to have for what he wants that local church to do.
I like that,
So our church may not have certain people, but it's because, or gifts because we don't have those people, but it's because God doesn't expect us to be doing anything in that right now. And if he does give us that opportunity later on, he'll bring somebody that has those gifts.
Which is, I just want to pick up on that because that's tremendously important because churches do have their own personalities and therefore often can find themselves, whether they're large, small, whatever, striving to be something that they're not.
Yeah.
Another word for that is competitive.
Mm-hmm. Or schizophrenic.
Well, trying to do too many things at once. I know as a leader of this organization, one of your great passions has been to narrow the field. Talk to me about that for a minute and why you would work so hard on narrowing the output, would you say? How would you say it?
Well, I would focus. Say, yeah, narrowing the focus because essentially, I believe the church is there to reach people with the gospel and to disciple them, help them grow in their faith. And then that has outward expressions. As we're growing in our faith, we do stuff. But when I look at the different ministries, many, many churches will have 100-plus ministries, different things they're trying to do. Mm. And the reality is when you water yourself down that much, or when you spread yourself out that much, I should say, watering down is probably not the right word, but when you spread yourself out that much, you're spreading yourself so thin that I'm of the opinion you're probably not doing all those things well.
Yeah.
So I'd rather do a few things really well with focus and attention. And as the church grows, you can keep expanding that. Mm. Churches of 10 or 20,000 people may do 100 ministries and do them all well. But that's not...
Well, classically speaking, I would suggest that the larger an organization gets, the smaller, the more laser-like its focus is.
Yeah, they'll usually have their thing that's their identity.
Well, I was going to say, because Paul writes, hey, I'll be all things to all men so that I may win a few. But he's talking about connecting with individuals. He's not talking about organizational life, but I don't think.
But you know what his thing is?
Yeah, go.
Winning a few.
Yeah.
He wants to win people. Mm-hmm. It's like all these other things I'm doing are for that one thing.
Actually, really good pickup. You're right, because he's saying I'll be all things, but my laser focus is just winning a few.
That's it.
Just a few at a time. So when you go through this shape format, how does it work?
Well, you start by looking at spiritual gifts, and then of course we bring out the biblical elements of that and help people to try to discover how they're gifted if they come in not knowing, and then we look at their heart, and then to do that we actually have them make a timeline of their life and look at the highs and lows of life, and that a lot of times will reveal their heart, the things that they were passionate about.
So looking backwards and telling your story might actually help you understand what you love to do.
Exactly.
How you
exactly.
Want. Yeah, right.
Yep. What you love to do.
That's, you see that, you see the same phrase. Thing popping up right. over and over right. again. Yep. Yeah, right.
And then we look at abilities, which is that's a little more straightforward. But sometimes a lot of people say, I'm not really good at anything, you know. So we try to unpack that a little bit more for them and give them some examples of things that they didn't realize they were good at. Maybe just it's like organizing files. Well, that's actually.
Hey, I need someone like that in my life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't have a basket at home for your filing cabinet? That's what I do. It might surprise you, Stan, with me being so structured, but I have a filing basket.
Filing basket. I'm probably more. Do you remember the old series Friends? There was an episode. Was it Friend? No. One of the sitcoms. Might have been Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and he had a bathtub full of letters. Yeah. He was trying to find his rates notice or something.
It's like a time capsule. It's like, when did that thing come through? Maybe March. All right, let me dig down this many inches of paper.
March of what year?
So let me just go around the table here. Stan, you've got a filing cabinet. You're more of a, you know where the thing is because you've filed it away. Is that how you're...
Actually not. Wow. Surprisingly not. You know, I want other people to have that for me so I can say, hey, can you get me this? You know?
Okay, so if it's not at home, have you got that in your email? Have you got folders in your email?
Yeah, I've got.
You ready? You want to check a personality profile? How many unanswered emails do you have?
Zero
for Simon?
Unanswered. Define unanswered.
The little number that comes up on the icon that says... You've got to read this many emails that are unread.
Yeah. Well, but they've probably been read and saved as new. So,
different series again. So,
and that's probably about 10.
About 10?
That's unread. By the end of the day, it's always going to be zero, and except for the ones I've saved.
How many thousand have you got, Justin?
About 6.
Are they junk?
It's mostly junk. Okay,
hopefully. As long as some of them are junk. It's
mostly junk. And some of those I meant for you to reply to today.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm now feeling guilty about my shape.
Right click, Mark. Right. All is red. Get rid of the red dot.
And actually what we're talking about there is the next. We're talking about personality.
Right.
You know, and our personality is what drives those things.
Well, and that one is actually an interesting one because I do like the zero. I do like the comfort of going, it's all done. Mm-hmm. But because of the way that I work and the amount, and again, we've talked about even the size of my family and the different outputs that I have, it's almost impossible to find the time in the day to do all of the things. I've come to terms as best you can, as best any of us can, with my own personality. I try not to rock in the corner as much as I used to, is basically.
Well, I remember when you first started, because we had been communicating for almost a year before that, at least 9 months. And I was trying to discover what the best way to communicate with you was.
Sure, yeah.
And I don't know if you remember, but one day I just asked you, I said, what is the best way to communicate with you? And he said, like this.
Yeah.
You said that. You'd rather just, let's talk.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm emails all day long. I can, you know.
No. If I can get, I always, years and years ago, I discovered that mentoring young people and whatever that I was doing, the walk and talk. If I could organize a walk and talk, I'll organize a walk and talk because I think, and one of the first messages I ever preached in WBC was a message around walking beside people.
That was before you were...
Before I was on staff, So beside is a very important concept to me. And even knowing that that was the first sermon I preached here and almost discovering about myself that that is one of my life's themes, walking alongside. So I've got a great mate, Nath, who used to be in my band and he's a good mate and he calls me every now and again still for a bit of a chat. And he will often say, just need a walk and talk. That's the way. So we can't do that anymore. He lives in a different state. But the walk and talk I find very effective for the type of relational ministry that I have to do. I also find it a better way to get to the bottom of the creative thought process that we're trying to get to. Because a lot of what we deal with in organizational life is not, it's not joining the dots kind of stuff. Oftentimes I find a day starts at point A and there's 15 points on the map that you could end up at. And your discernment and your wisdom and your processing will help you land somewhere at the end of the day. And so really maybe it's something about the physical nature of walking even that just de-stresses people and helps them think out loud, all that sort of stuff. Now, again, there are plenty of processes that are just simply fill in a roster but see,
that's
get it done.
That's exercise too, though, and it's all connected. Our course, physical, mental, and emotional, it's all connected. So when you're actually doing physical exercise, that's going to help as well. And, you know, you could just sit all day long on the phone or on the email and everything, and then you look like me.
You guys in the room do know that when you're talking to me at home, you're on my AirPods and I'm walking around the house, right? You know that.
Oh, yeah.
Because these guys know that if they're talking to me, there's probably going to be some interruptions for parenting, cooking, and putting washing away.
Yeah, and that's why I remember once or twice I've called you and I've said, sit down.
Yeah, because you're gonna want to sit down for this.
But hey, the last part we've talked about spiritual gifts, heart abilities, and personality.
Yeah,
the last part is experiences.
Yeah,
and the young Simon here, he doesn't have as many experiences. You look at his timeline. Yeah, he wasn't there.
You weren't there, man. Yeah. You don't know.
And you've got less than I do. But as we go through our life, we have different experiences, and those shape us. In fact, you know, some people say, is it nurture or is it nature? Is Justin the way he is because of nurture or nature? The answer is yes. And a lot of the other things we talked about, the gifts and the abilities, the personality and those things, those all go to nature, right? The experiences are nurture, you know, so they actually work together to create the person that we are. And then once we discover the person that we are, then we know what God wants us to do. But you got to start with discovering who you are.
And I would say too, it's this is going back to my walk and talk thesis. You will discover as you do as well.
Yes.
So some of these things are, for some people, they might think, well, if I go and do the shape survey, then I'll know. Well, you'll know more, but unless you apply it and start to act and react to the world around you with that knowledge, it doesn't necessarily change much. And here's the other sucky thing about that is that it's never complete.
Yeah. Hey, Pastor D threw me under the bus last time on the podcast about my singing, so I'm going to throw her under the bus now.
Okay. Yeah. I've got the mic now. You might want to sit down for this.
She used to think she has the gift of mercy.
That response was bad. I'm sorry, D. I love you.
But the test doesn't lie.
The science shows. The survey says.
She's more prophetic, meaning I'm going to hit you between the eyes with the truth. But in some ways, that is merciful. Anyway.
Tell me the truth sooner than later. And again, at different points in our journey, we need different people to interrupt and intercept where we're headed. So Simon, you've done this shape test, is that right?
I did it this morning.
So you're looking at a piece of paper. For those listening to the audio, you're listening, you've filled in a piece of paper. It looks like a worksheet from grade 6.
Yeah, it's not far off. There was a lot of questions. You know those personality ones. There's like 100 questions, but there's 10 topics and they just recycle.
Ask them in different ways to trick you.
So I did it. I've got my answers.
And that's the gifting one. This is the spiritual gifting one.
What did you come up with?
I came up with, how many are here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's like 21 different gifts, spiritual gifts.
Read out some highlights. What have you got there?
My top one is with a clean sweep of 21 points. Ooh. Was administration.
Sorry, that needs to be with a clean sweep of 21 points.
Thankfully, I got no zeros.
No zeros. I've never thought of you as a zero, mate.
I got 21 for administration. I got 19 for helps. I got a tie for third between craftsmanship and leadership.
Okay.
So they're my answers.
Yeah, and knowing you the way we know you, I think Stan and I would just nod.
It would fit.
Yeah.
I like structuring and organizing things. I like contributing and making them with other people.
I was probably a little bit surprised that administration was the top. You know, he's great at it, but he's so creative. He's a creative genius at the same time. And most of the time, my experience would be that the administrative, the structure and the organization and all that doesn't always go hand in hand with how creative Simon is.
But again,
that's part of what makes him so unique. He's a great blend and masterful.
Because my whole school life and things was, hey, you're a creative guy, you're a designer. But for me, that's like equals sixth creative communication on here.
Yep.
And equals sixth would be, you know, there's two and three, two and four. Like, it's down the list.
And when I look at the creatives that I've hung out with in my life, so one of my best mates at uni is an avant-garde composer in France right now. So that's the level of creative people I've hung out with. He's very good. He's incredible, but you wouldn't understand. I don't even understand what he does. It's kind of cool. Paul Clift, if you're listening.
I don't understand what you do.
He's an avant-garde composer in France. He's at Switzerland, wherever he is right now. He speaks four languages and composes with the back side of the bow on the bottom side of the cello, that kind of stuff. It's good fun. But that kind of creativity is different to what Simon does creatively, who I would look at the shapes, colours and style that Simon has. And what I love about what he can do is he can take the more chaotic approach that I would have and just go, just do this. Here's a simple way of saying what you're trying to say. Mm-hmm. And so it is definitely creative, but it's very much here's some boundaries to put around that. Yep. Stay within this. And what I find about your particular gift mix is you're still able to help creatives feel happy about it whilst knowing that you've completely controlled them. And that brought him joy just then. I was like, that was a silly way to put that. But does that make some sense?
Yeah, and that's probably leaning into the love of efficiency and getting the job done part of the admin and things.
So, Stan, you did it as well?
Yeah. Well, I've done it like 14,000 times through life, but in preparing for a class coming up, it always comes out the same. Yep. Leadership is, as Simon said, a clean sweep.
Clean sweep, 21.
21. Teaching and wisdom tied for 19 for second. And then just right under those was evangelism and administration.
Yeah,
at 18. So,
was there any that you saw at the bottom of the list that you wish were higher, or is it just you know yourself so well? It's not a big disappointment anymore.
The one that's a disappointment. My bottom ones are helps, craftiness, and then this is the one that's really disappointing for me is intercession.
Oh,
you know, yeah. So
okay, well that disappoints you.
Well, because I'm a pastor and I should be interceding more.
Right. But again, the way we hear the word certainly. Yeah. No, but I get that. There are people that are more,
And just to clarify, I do pray. I pray a lot. I pray regularly.
Mm.
But it's not my natural.
Yeah.
And that's what this is. This is all my giftedness. So, and really, it shouldn't disappoint me because gifts are given by God. And if he hasn't gifted me that way, that's okay.
That's probably what popped up for mine. Some of my low ones would make you feel guilty. Like the mercy, intercession, prophecy, shepherding, it's that personal relational stuff that I'm not good at.
Mm.
But as you say, it's like, well, that's just not me.
Right.
Other people will be great at that. My job, my skills, I had to do this.
My little takeaway at the moment, though, would be that you boys are both very I'm going to use the word attractional. I'm not sure that's exactly what I mean, but you are soft-spirited people that people like being around. So you may not be the person putting on the party and putting out the party pies, but you're also not you're not honing so hard into your top three skills that you're annoying, you know, you're rejecting other people and they don't feel comfortable around you. And that's more about just being a good person.
And some of that is maturity.
Oh, really? Have you grown? Oh, yeah. I would never have nailed you with that, but anyway.
No, just in general, the longer you live, when you're really, really young, younger than producer Simon, you have these things.
I don't remember.
And then, leadership, that's me, and I just got to run over everybody and all that.
Yeah.
You know, and you can be wired with those tendencies, but as you grow, as you mature, as you get older, and as you learn some life lessons and have some experiences, you realize that that's not actually going to be helpful.
So, talking about your experiences, and we've had some conversations on this in the past, but I think one of your reflections on your early leadership was you were a bit more of a bulldozer. The way you tell the stories, it was like, we're going to get it done. And
well, that's what I never believed that about myself,
right?
But everybody else around me would say that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like they were all wrong, of course.
The personnel?
Hey, we were with another organization, and as we were entering the organization, we were doing an interview, and they asked Deanna, what's his greatest strength? And she said, his drivenness. Mm-hmm. And then they said, okay, what's his greatest weakness? And she said, his drivenness.
Right? Yeah.
So,
It's safe to say that, again, you've talked about it as a maturing process, and it is, but as you grow older and you're still on the planet, your view has to get wider. doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Which and I would say, largely speaking, a wider view is a softer person. And I'm not talking about organizational structural life here. I'm just talking about the way you relate to
wider view.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, going back to the echo chamber conversation, yeah. We've seen, you know, in this social media generation, which is only, it's not that old, the social media generation, the echo chamber thing where people say, you know, the classic one is, you know, do your own research, find the truth. And often what those people are saying is find my truth, find my exact opinion. But they're saying, no, we've zoomed out, And you're saying, your basic argument is, no, you haven't. You've honed in on one particular passion and said, that's correct. And you can't softly speak. And so that's where I come back to one of the spiritual gifts about leadership and training is you're actually wise as a serpent, but gentle as a dove. So softening yourself is, you know, the greatest love ever known is that a man should lay down his life for another, and especially one that he, you know, one that he doesn't even know, you know, and we have that example in Jesus, and that's why we have the faith we have, because the man with the greatest leadership talent ever known to man actually went, I'm going to lay down my life for those people that don't understand what I'm on about.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. And what you're saying is just so true. It's resonating with me right now that, you know, I am, you know, the top spiritual gifts of leadership. When you do personality test or temperament test, I'm what they call choleric, which means I'm a bulldozer. I'm going to run over people. I'm going to get things done. But when you are able to temper those things, you actually are a more effective leader when you realize, okay, I'm a get-it-done kind of person, and I can have a tendency to run over people, but if I can temper that and I get people on side rather than knocking them out of my way, then that's going to actually be better leadership, and I'm going to accomplish much more by bringing people along. So it's a beautiful thing. And yes, I'm quite passionate about these things.
I love these conversations because I feel challenged and convicted. And I do every time I have these conversations, you feel somewhat encouraged that you feel like you've taken some steps towards being a more rounded leader. And by the way, Pastor Stan, who would you define as a leader?
Who would I define as a leader?
Yeah, well let me give you
leadership is influence.
Yeah.
Anyone that you're influencing, if you're influencing someone, you're a leader.
Fine. It's a much, much bigger conversation, but if you have the inclination, feel free to get in touch with us here at WBC. We do run these courses. We also know other people that run these courses, and it's a really fantastic and very, very simple tool to help you understand how you're wired, how God has wired you, what your experience is might be leading you towards, and how you can get in and around community in a better way to create a healthier environment. So, Simon, how would they get in touch with us if they wanted to?
They can follow the Werribee Baptist Church on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Yep.
All of those things. The first three in particular is where our podcast goes out.
Right.
You can contact us.
Yep.
Or at werribeebaptist.org.au.
Or download the app.
Or they can download the app. You can see there, if you go looking, there are many ways.
There's too many. You can be part of the Werribee Baptist Church Echo Chamber, just like us.
Yeah, send us carrier pigeons, write it in the sky.
Subscribe, follow, share with your friends, all those things. Right? Am I saying the right things?
Sure. Hey, thanks for being part of the Elaborators today. We hope you've enjoyed our conversation and that you've discovered a little bit more about your shape. But it's goodbye from me. It's goodbye from him.
See ya.
Aussie.
Oi, oi, oi.
There you go.
Yeah. Wow.
Thanks for being part of the Elaborators.
USA.
Be like Roy. Anyway, are we done?
We're done.
Okay. Catch you next time on the Elaborators. Bye.